Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Some weeks ago, we've been so busy with so many important programs focusing on issues like do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery. But some weeks ago, there was a beaching of dolphins in the Philippines. Do you remember that in the news? About 200 dolphins beached themselves and three had died. And the authorities, like the animal rights crowd, you know, the animal rights crowd, when you have these dolphins beaching themselves or whales, their concern was to keep the dolphins alive. And I wonder about that because the animal rights folks, they're all pro-suicide, aren't they? They're all pro-abortion. They advocate killing unborn children. And they tend to be overwhelmingly supportive, as I can discern from hearing whether environmentalists or animal rights activists speak, they tend to be pro-euthanasia, pro-suicide. So if they support killing unborn children, then fetal pig research? Why are they against fetal pig research? We interviewed an animal rights leader from Colorado on the show years ago, Robin Duxbury, the head of the Rocky Mountain Humane Society. And she said, no, I'm against fetal pig research. I said, you think it's wrong to kill fetal pigs? And she said, absolutely. I said, where do you stand on abortion? She said, oh, I'm pro-choice. What a hypocrite. So animals are people too? No, animals are not people too. And so why would it be, these people advocate the right of human beings to kill themselves, but when animals try to kill themselves, they try to stop them. What's going on with all this? Now, personally, me, Bob Inyart, I love animals. They're delicious. I love animals. And I acknowledge animal rights. Animals have the right to be hunted, killed, cooked, and eaten. I understand these things. The greatest achievement of any animal is what? What is the greatest achievement of any animal? To be eaten by a human being. Any animal with ambition strives to one day being on the plate at your dinner table. I mean, that is the ultimate goal of any animal with ambition. So, what's with this idea that animals have rights? Now, as human beings, we have a responsibility toward animals. It is wrong to unnecessarily torture an animal. Just to torture an animal for entertainment, pastime, that's wrong. That's wrong. And God speaks of the obligation that human beings have. God put human beings in dominion over the earth. He told us to have dominion over the earth and over the animals of the field. And it is wrong for us to torture an animal, but you cannot confer rights to animals without diminishing the rights of human beings. You can't do that. Some weeks ago, we were at DU Law School, University of Denver Law School, and next to the pro-life table was an animal rights table. And in the lobby of the law school building. So there was an animal rights table, and they were getting signatures to advocate for animal rights. And I wondered, well, are you guys against abortion? Oh, no, we're not against abortion. We're for animal rights. And I tried to explain to them, and that they couldn't, it's not that they disagreed, they didn't get the point. You know, before you disagree, you have to get the point. So I tried to explain that if you elevate animal rights, you denigrate human rights. You don't elevate animal rights in a vacuum. You denigrate human rights. And they couldn't quite get that. And so I said, well, just imagine that somehow we could equalize all animals and humans. Everyone had the same rights. Everyone had the same rights. So what would that do to society's opinion of children, of unborn children, of the elderly? I mean, we eat animals. We eat animals. We clothe ourselves with animals. And there are people who think that's immoral. Well, animals eat animals. Fish eat animals. Fish eat other fish. And if you think that we're all equal, you really think we're all equal, then a human being killing his child to eat his child in order to save time from going to the grocery store is not any different from a fish eating a fish. And so when you try to set everything on its head, don't think you can do so without consequences. Our phone number here, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. There is a family that had been devastated by the suicide of their daughter, and they are working to introduce laws to regulate how nude photos could be sent over cell phones and posted on the internet. And so we'll get to that a little later in the show, but how do you deal with that? How does society deal with that? Their daughter sent a photo to her boyfriend. It ended up being posted on the internet. She got so many comments about being a slut and a tramp and all, and she committed suicide, 18-year-old girl. Tragedy. Sycamore High School senior. And perhaps you've heard about the story out of Cincinnati. So how do you deal with that? Well, here at Bob and Yurt Live, we know how you deal with that because we take God's word, the Bible, seriously. So we know. Do you know how to deal with that? We'll get to that a little later in the program. Remember PETA, P-E-T-A, People Eating Tasty Animal? No, that's not the name. PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Their president, Ingrid Newkirk, has said that there is no rational basis for saying that a human being has special rights. A rat is a pig, is a dog, is a boy. That's PETA. And so, of course, the PETA people are supportive of killing children and generally suicide and euthanasia. And that's just the way it is. When you elevate animal rights, you denigrate human rights. And you might not like that, but that's reality. And there's one thing about reality, it's hard to get away from reality. It's hard. All right. What was that Time Magazine line a few years ago about animal rights? And a rattlesnake loose in your home tends to end all discussion of animal rights. Good point, right? You got a rattlesnake in your office, and all of a sudden, the secretary who's so concerned about animal rights seems to forget her position for a while. And then I always remember one of the friends of Bob and Yurt Live, a dear friend, years ago up in Boulder, Colorado, checking out at a grocery store. And the woman in front of him and the cashier, they were talking about there was a bug on the checkout counter. And they said, oh, someone should take that outside. And he grabbed it and he said, excuse me, ladies. He threw it to the ground. He stomped on it. He just stomped on it. And he said, don't worship bugs. That was Kent Reiske. Great point. Great point. Don't worship bugs. So if you're an animal rights activist, realize that your activism, now we should not torture animals, but we should hunt them, kill them, cook them, and eat them. Some of them, like sashimi, you could eat without cooking, some of them. But realize that if you are a hardcore animal rights activist, that is a symptom that you're masking a rebellion against God and his created order. That's what you're doing. And you could ask God to search your heart and see if there's any wicked way within you and lead you in the everlasting way. And part of that is acknowledging God's supremacy above our own desires and ideas. That God made mankind in his image and his likeness, and he did not make animals like that. So you have a horse that you love? Wonderful. God made men and some animals to have a relationship. Not all. You can't have a relationship with all living things. Like, try to have a relationship with a cactus. See if it returns your affection. A cow? I don't know. I've never heard of anybody having a relationship with a cow. I just haven't heard of it. But, you know, I don't know. I grew up in New Jersey. What do we know? It's the Garden State. But some animals you could really get to know and have an actual relationship with at the animal level. God did give animals a soul, but not a spirit, and not an eternal spirit. So animals, when they die, and that's it. When a human being dies, his spirit either goes to live apart from God or goes to live with God, whichever that individual prefers. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So if people say, "I don't care about Jesus Christ," like Muslims, they say, "Oh, he never rose from the dead. He wasn't even crucified." So they reject the whole purpose of his coming to this earth and his ministry to us to save us. Then they're saying, I really would rather live with Muhammad. Given a choice between Jesus and Muhammad, I choose Muhammad. And so a Muslim who dies without repenting will go to live with Muhammad forever in hell. But human beings are not like animals in that we are created in God's image and likeness so we could have a deep and rich relationship with God forever. It's pretty exciting. With God forever, and that's why Jesus Christ came to earth to enable us to do that. Okay, before the story about this tragic story of this 18-year-old girl who committed suicide, first, this from the front page of the Denver Post, just recently quoting a Republican congressman from Ohio, Representative John Bonier, who was speaking against Obama's funding for embryonic research. Here's what he said. See if you could catch the absurdity of it. He said, "I fully support stem cell research, but I draw the line at taxpayer-funded research that requires the destruction of human embryos." Now, does that sound like a pro-life hero? Because that's how he's presented. He's being a pro-life hero. He draws the line at taxpayer-funded embryonic research because it destroys tiny human beings. So he says, "I fully support stem cell research," meaning adult stem cells that you can get from bone marrow or umbilical cords or teeth or all different ways. "I fully support stem cell research, but I draw the line at taxpayer-funded embryonic research." Now, do you note the absurdity, the wickedness in that supposed pro-life position? You see the wickedness of it, how evil it is? It would be like saying this: "I fully support cheap labor, but I draw the line at taxpayer-funded slave trade." "I fully support cheap labor, but I draw the line at the taxpayer-funded slave trade." In other words, you've left a loophole there for the slave trade, right? You say, "Look, I draw the line at taxpayer-funded slave trade." This whole scam of "I'm against tax-funded abortions," that enabled thousands of pro-abortion candidates to deceive Christians and vote for them. Because they say, "Oh, look, Hank Brown, he's against tax-funded abortion. I'll vote for him." And then he gets elected with the vote of, what, 100,000 Christian pro-lifers in Colorado, goes to Washington, D.C., and during the Clarence Thomas hearings, just a few weeks after he's in Washington, he ends up on the Judiciary Committee, Senator Hank Brown from Colorado, and it was the current vice president who asks Hank Brown. And that's who it was back then. Joe Biden on the Judiciary Committee, if I recall this correctly, asks Hank Brown, and this is on national TV, the Clarence Thomas hearings, it was national news. And he said, well, you're new to our committee, Senator Brown. Where do you stand on this abortion issue? And Hank Brown said, oh, I'm pro-choice. And I remember at my church debating with the church members who were all campaigning for Hank Brown, saying he's a pro-abort. He's a child killer. And they said, oh, no, he can't be. He's against tax-funded abortion. I said, what does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with anything? It's like saying, I fully support cheap labor, but I draw the line at the taxpayer-funded slave trade. You see the loophole? You see that you're not a principled man? You're a creep. You're a creep. There's something that's evil, that's wicked, and you pretend to be a good person by playing games with words and convincing people who want to do the right thing that you're okay when you're really just a creep. It'd be like saying, I fully support overpopulation studies, but I draw the line at government-funded genocide. That's what your Republican pro-life John Bonier from Ohio said. I fully support overpopulation studies, but I draw the line at government-funded genocide. So privately funded genocide, oh, that's a different matter. I'm not going to oppose that. I fully support medical research, but I draw the line at the government subsidizing Dr. Mengele. So if Dr. Mengele wants to get private financing, well, then that's another matter. You see the absurdity that we're in? We're in a Twilight Zone world. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So now we have the terrible, terrible, tragic story out of Ohio of this young girl, 18-year-old girl, who sent a photograph of herself to her boyfriend. And this is part of the technology assault on young people, on older people too, mind you, of course. It's not as though porn sites are safe for adults. Not true. You got to protect children from porn sites. At Denver Bible Church on Super Bowl Sunday, we stated from the front of the church to the congregation, if you're going to enjoy the Super Bowl today, please watch out for the commercials. Please turn the channel. Because the commercials, the news is that they're especially sexually vulgar this year, as I don't think that's unusual, but just especially so. And it's not good for the kids. We pointed out, we said, actually, it's not good for the adults or the kids. So you have kids that are using the internet, boys taking advantage of the dignity and self-respect of the girls that has been broken down by Planned Parenthood and our Republican and Democratic politicians who actually have worked to decriminalize adultery, decriminalize fornication, decriminalize prostitution, decriminalize pornography. And by the way, a lot of pornography is prostitution, right? Women get paid to have sex and it's videotaped and then it's sold. That's prostitution. Prostitution is when you pay someone to have sex. And so prostitution, according to the Bush administration, according to Focus on the Family, Dr. James Dobson, he was on the Presidential Commission on Obscenity. And their view is that the government should regulate pornography, should regulate it. Of course, the biblical, historical, Judeo-Christian view is that sex is only legal within marriage. Sex is only legal within marriage, so any sexual activity outside of marriage is criminal. So fornication is criminal. Adultery is criminal. Today, we have our Christian leaders think that homosexuality should be legal. It was a crime for 3,500 years of Judeo-Christian legal history. It was a crime. And now our Christian leaders have tossed out what Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, and Moses have said, and they have sided with who? The homosexuals, Hollywood, Hillary, and the humanist. And they advocate the legitimization, the decriminalization, the legalization of homosexuality. They say, well, it should be legal. What people do in the privacy of their own home, that is their right. We have so many Christian leaders who have said that and written that over the last 20 years. So they've dumped the worldview of biblical morality and they've adopted moral relativism and secular humanism in a rejection of the revelation of God for what? Nature. And by the way, that's a big reason why Christians who get into trying to influence the government, they like to talk about natural law. Why do they like to talk about natural law? The natural law movement never built up any steam because nobody could agree on what the natural law is. But let me tell you this. While some people speak of the law of nature and nature's God as a reference to the God of the Bible, some people do that. But the reason that became popular was because it was a way of de-emphasizing God's revelation, revelation from God. And instead, let's talk about nature's God and natural law. Well, if you're going to go by natural law, animals eat other animals. Some animals eat their young. Some animals gang rape the female. Animals eat other animals while they're still alive. So when homosexuals point to dogs or goats and say, look, there's homosexual behavior in the animal kingdom. And that, have you heard that argument? I've heard them make that argument over the years when the topic comes up. That's their defense. And at that point, I have to confess, usually I'm not at a loss for words, but at that point I have to say, well, you got me stymied there. I can't disagree with you. If you want to say that homosexuals are like pigs and dogs, I don't know how I could refute that. You've made a good point. So homosexuals are like pigs or dogs having sex within the same sex? How am I going to disagree with that? Animals are animals. We try to teach people to behave like human beings, made in God's image and likeness. And so you just don't. Take animal behavior and say, well, this is how human beings should behave, like animals. Well, just watch a documentary on dolphins and how they reproduce. And see if you're a feminist, see if you want to adopt the dolphin method of reproduction for human beings. So the parents of this girl, this tragic story, where she, the victimization, where's the victims? Who are the victims? You know, it starts with the culture, the Christian leaders who think that we should regulate sex outside of marriage so that millions of young people are confused about whether sex outside of marriage is even wrong. A lot of them never even heard that it's wrong. They haven't heard of it because they don't even hear it in their churches anymore. And when your most well-known Christian leaders think pornography should be regulated. And how about adultery? Oh, that should be legal. How about fornication, sex outside of marriage? That should be legal. Adultery is sex with another man's wife, someone else's spouse. That's criminal. It was criminal in America until what? The 1960s? It was a crime. If the hotel had any thought that you were not married, they wouldn't let you check in. They'd ask to see your marriage license. The whole country forgets that. It was against the law for a man and a woman to be together without being married. And the Christian leadership in America is so broken, it has lost sight of God's word. There is no foundation any longer. So they think all these things need to be regulated. So I grieve for this 18-year-old girl and her parents who now think that somehow the answer lies in regulating what could be done with a nude photo of a teenager when she mails it to her boyfriend over her phone, whether it should be illegal to post it on the internet. That's not the point. I mean, you could try to unring the bell. Pandora's box has been opened. You can try to close it. But if you are trying to regulate sex outside of marriage, if you are saying children have the right to have sex outside of marriage, children could have sex, but we're going to regulate whether or not they could take pictures of each other. We're going to regulate if one sends an email with a photo to another, that's not allowed to be forwarded to other people. And if you think you can pull that off, you're a lunatic. You can't pull that off. You can't regulate child molestation. There are some things you shouldn't try to regulate. You should fight on principle to teach people this is wrong and it needs to be recriminalized. You don't regulate killing children. You don't regulate raping women. You don't regulate prostitution. You don't regulate homosexuality. Oh, they could be homosexuals and engage in that despicable behavior, but they can't adopt kids. Okay, that lasted for what? 3.5 years? And then the Christians gave up on they can't adopt kids. Now I don't even think you could get one to state that position anymore because they'll feel like they're a throwback to the Dark Ages. When's the last time you heard Tom Minnery of Focus on the Family say homosexuals should not adopt kids? I doubt he said that in 10 years. Now it's just marriage. And give it another 10 years, they're not going to speak against homosexual marriage because they've changed their position so many times on so many fundamental issues. There is no foundation. God says, do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're ashamed of God's commands, do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, then how are you going to lead people to salvation when they don't think they need to be saved? What are they guilty of? They just fornicate and kill their unborn children. What are they guilty for? These things are things that make them proud. So you want to save this 18-year-old girl? Well, it's too late, right? But you want to save other children like her? Get your kids out of the public schools. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Recriminalize fornication. Recriminalize adultery. Recriminalize child killing. Hey, in Arvada, Colorado, Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school. And our website is KGOV.com. May God bless you.